Marmacom was again are in the chat. It's two separate sheets I have there. If you just, you'll see it in the chat itself, one and then the other.
Hey, thank you, Rabbi Shabtai. Rabbi Shabtai, is this the second to last Shiur of the series?
Correct, correct. Next week will be the last week leading to us. Yes, I'm sorry.
Penultimate Shiur. I'll try to make the best of it. Okay, there was a request to talk about Ger Katan related topics, conversion of a minor. So my pleasure to accept requests. And we'll devote today's Shiur to that topic. The Gemara tells us in Ksubas on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph as follows. Let's pull up the share screen. Okay, Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Right where it says Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Ger Katan Matbilin Asol Das Bezdin. Rav Huna says that a minor convert, we immerse in the mikvah Al Das Bezdin with the knowledge supplied by Bezdin. The Gemara says, "My Kamash Malan, what's the chiddush of this statement of Rav Huna? This chus who love is achil adam shalav b'fanav. Are you telling us that it's considered meritorious for a child to be converted? And you're allowed to perform a meritorious act for someone not in his presence, without his active participation?" Gemara says, we already know such a concept. So the Gemara seems to indicate here that the process of converting a minor is predicated on the principle of Zachar La'adam Shalav B'fanav, on doing something meritorious on an individual's behalf without their knowledge participation. One thing that needs to be addressed is what exactly is the mechanism provided here for Ger Katan Al Das Bezdin, and under what circumstances is this notion of Zachin invoked? When does it need to be invoked? Rashi comments over here, Al Das Bezdin, in Ein Lo Av, V'Imo Heviyasa L'Sgayer. If this child does not have a father, and the mother brings him to convert. So is that distinction in Rashi meant to be taken literally, that the only time we invoke Zachin in the context of Ger Katan is where the father brings him to convert, but not if the mother brings him to convert? What is the significance of the role of the father? Now, the Gemara does have a line later on that says, Hachamayaskina, what are we talking about here? The Gershin is Gayer Banu Bubinos of Imo, someone who converts together with his children. The Nichale Bumai David Avuan, where he's interested in doing, the kid's interested in doing whatever the father does. So, is there indeed a distinction between where the father brings him to convert and the mother or anyone else brings him to convert? So, in the version of Rashi that appears in the Ritva, the Ritva, of course, Rashi is saying, Heviyo oso aviv v'imo, that the father and mother together bring him to convert, and that's the case of the Gemara. But that's not the way Rashi is presented in front of us on the page. Rashi sounds like there is a distinction between where the father brings him and where the mother brings him. So what would that potentially be based on? It could be, it's along the lines of a comment of the Me'iri. The Me'iri writes, "Matbilin osal das bezdin kolomar sheosam habayim legairo modiyin es hadavar lebezdin u'megairin osal datam," that the people coming to convert him inform Bezdin, and they convert him al das Bezdin with the knowledge provided by Bezdin, ki'ilu heima vosav shelzeh, as if they are the fathers of this person, shehei inyana maser lahem, kederech she'inyana ben maser la'av, lachnisa lebris, ulukedusha samuna. That just as a father in a normal Jewish family has responsibility for the religious welfare of his children, so too, the people that are bringing along this child to convert in Bezdin are taking that responsibility. That's the role of Bezdin. So if there's a father, the father is the one that provides for the religious upbringing. If there's no father, then Bezdin takes that role as a stand-in for the father. Now, what right does a father have, a non-Jewish father have to bring his son to Beis Din to convert him? So that may be along the lines, the Or Sameach says this, Or Sameach in Hilchos Avadim Perek Ches Halacha Kaf, says it's along the lines of the following Rambam. The Rambam writes here in Hilchos Avadim Perek Tes Halacha Beis, that if a person acquires an Eved Kanani from a Jewish person, a Jewish person owns an Eved Kanani, or you acquire an Eved from a non-Jew, so that individual that you're acquiring as an Eved Kanani has such a status, then the Rambam writes, V'chein mocher banav ubenosav. A non-Jew is also allowed to sell his children into avdus. Shenamar mehem teknu v'mishpachasam asherim mechem asher li debar tzachem. And that person has the status of Eved Kanani. So Ursameach suggests that just as a non-Jewish father is authorized, has the right to sell his children as an Eved Kanani, so too do they have the right to bring their children to Beis Din to convert. But be that as it may, some understand within Rashi that there is a distinction between where the father brings him and other people bring him, and the need for Das Beis Din, which we'll have to explain how that works, is only critical where the father does not bring him. If the father does bring him, there's no need for Das Beis Din, and we'll see there are certain ramifications of that lahalacha as we will go on. The Gemara then goes on to say, there on Daf Yud Aleph in Ksubis, towards the bottom of this piece of Gemara, before the second Mishnah, actually, we'll start a little earlier, about halfway down where the arrow is. Amar of Yosef, Higdilu Yecholim Limchos. That if a minor converts Al Das Beis Din, when they become of age, they have the right to be mocha, they have the right to protest, and that upends the conversion. The Gemara attempts to qualify that statement, but ultimately that stands lemaskanas the Gemara, the din of Higdilu Yecholim Limchos, that if a minor converts, they have the option of opting out to be mocha, of protesting against the conversion when they become of age. So what is the mechanism of that? Why do you have this right or this opt out of macha? So before we address that, Rishonim are bothered by the following problem. In general, in order for a conversion to be valid, there has to be a kabbalas mitzvah. There has to be an acceptance of mitzvah, which we generally assume to mean that the person has to commit to living a Torah lifestyle, a lifestyle of shmiras Torah u'mitzvah. So Rishonim are bothered, some explicitly, some implicitly. How do you have that kind of kabbalas mitzvah by a katan? A katan converts, so they're not bardas, they're not of age where they can make decisions for themselves. So where is that acceptance of mitzvahs that is a necessary component of geiris? So the Shita Mekubesis here in Ksubis has a line, V'afal gav d'tzarech kabbalah, even though as a part of the geiris process there has to be a kabbalah, an acceptance of mitzvahs, hani mili hecha de'efshar, that's only where it's feasible to do it. Aval b'katan lo efshar, when it comes to a katan, it's not feasible to demand of them kabbalas mitzvahs, and therefore kabbalas mitzvahs is not a necessary component of the process of geirus for a katan. That's what the Shita Mekubetzes has quoting as Shita Yeshana. However, Tosus in Sanhedrin on Samaches Amid Beis, assumes that the kabbalas mitzvahs that is necessary for conversion when it comes to a katan, that is supplied when the katan becomes of age. Tosfos has a line, mitoch shegadlu v'lo michu haynu kabbalah. If they become of age and they don't protest, that's considered to be the Kabbalah. So they're kind of left hanging until they become of age, until they become bar or bas mitzvah. At that point, they have the option of opting out, of being mocha, protesting they don't want to be Jewish. If they fail to do so, then that's an implicit Kabbalah, and that completes the gerus process. So you don't require, according to Tosos, an active explicit Kabbalah, an active explicit acceptance, as long as you don't opt out. That's considered a implicit de facto Kabbalah mitzvos, and that completes the gerus process. There is a line of the Ritva, quoting from the Bali Tosos there. The Ritva writes in the bold, Tirtzu betosvos de'enam gerim gemurim, they're not considered to be a ger katan, is not considered to be a complete ger until you inform them of schar va'onesh mitzvos when they become of age. And that's the intent of the Gemara when it says higdil yuchal limchos, that when they become of age, they can opt out, they can be mocha. Kevin shigdila sha'achas begeris gemura achar shigdila, that once they become of age and they are in the full status of Geirus, and then you inform them of Schar Va'onesh, Shuv Einichal Limcha, so then they can't be Mocha after that point. But you have the opt-out possibility at the time they become of age, and that is what's considered the Kabbalah Samitzvah. The Ritva, the way he presents this, says that you actually have to have a formal Hodah, formal informing of the Ger Katan, when he becomes Bar Mitzvah, that essentially has the option to opt out. But that's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That's not generally assumed. We don't require a formal process, a formal declaration in front of the Ger Katan telling him that that he has to opt out. You don't need that he could opt out. You don't need a bezin for that. It's sufficient that he's aware of the option. And chooses not to. So the, in Shulchan Aruch, this position, or this presentation of the Ritva, is not accepted. Now the simple understanding of the mechanism of Macha is that it works from that point going forward. Meaning, let's say you have a Ger Katan, it converts at the age of 3. And then at the age of 12 or the age of 13, you tell him that he has the option of leaving, that he could be mocha. He says, okay, I had enough of this Judaism thing. I'm out. I want to go back to being a nachri. So the pashas is that that only works mikan l'ba. That only works from that point on, that if this katan did any Jewishly significant matter in his youth, if he touched wine, that wouldn't become yai nesach, because at the time, he was Jewish. But there are those that assume that it goes retroactive as well. There's a Chuvah in the Chazon Sofer that discusses this, the Aridea Simen Reish Nun Gimel. So that is a little bit of a discussion. Rabbi Zilberstein has a piece which is printed in, might have been printed elsewhere also, in the Kuntres Netzach Yisrael, volume 5, that poses the problem following question. If you assume that that macha works retroactively, that you converted a katan at the age of 3, when he becomes for a mitzvah at 13, he's mocha, he opts out, and retroactively he's considered that he was not Jewish the whole time. So how could you be mechal Shabbos for a ger katan, assuming that me'ikar adin, absent Eva, our priority for Mechal Shabbos is only for Yisrael. So how could you be Mechal Shabbos for this Ger Kata, then maybe he'll be Moch, and then it'll turn out he wasn't Jewish? So, in Holchem B'Pikuach Nefesh Acharov, he's bothered by. So, true that you follow, generally follow the majority. The Rove, the presumption is that he's going to become, that he's going to end up being Jewish. Even if that wasn't the Rove, you don't follow Rove, Pikuach Nefesh, you don't ask questions. Rav Yashiv is quoted there saying that you only evaluate him in his current situation, and we're not concerned about any retroactive change in status, even if he were to be mocha. Now, at what point could a ger katan be mochav? How wide is that window? So the ritva that we had read a few moments ago sounds like he could be mochav at the point or until the point that you are modia, you inform him about schar ve'onesh, you inform him about mitzvahs. So that should be done, could be done, the point that it becomes bar mitzvah if it wasn't done then. So even at a later point, perhaps that's what triggers the ability to be mocha. The Tosar Rosh has the following line. Kevan she'dila sha'achas v'kima shuv mitzvah yadus. Once a ger becomes a gadol and accepts and fulfills mitzvah yadus at that point, so if means that at the precise moment that becomes a gadol, it could be mochen out a moment later. So then how do you ever know exactly when that moment is? Yeah, how are you mitzam same to that precise minute? That if the person becomes a gadol and doesn't do any Jewish act, you could be mocha. Aval higdila sha'achas v'lo michsa shenaga min hayadus shuv eina yichal limchas. But if the person becomes a gadol and then does something Jewish, then there's no option of macha after that point. So it sounds like the person wakes up on his bar mitzvah day and he puts on tefillin. So once he does some Jewish act, then there's no possibility of macha anymore. You have to do the macha before you do any Jewish ritual act. And that's the trigger for when macha could take place. Something similar in the Ritva. Asasa Maisa Yehudis, then he karin Masa Shehe Maisa Yehudis. And you can tell from the action that these are considered to be Jewish actions. Now, it's not so clear exactly what's considered a Jewish action according to these Rishonim. Does that really mean that the person knows it's his bar mitzvah day, he knows he has the option of being mocha, he knows that he can dish the whole thing, and he wants to dish the whole thing. But he's used to doing Jewish things, so he gets up in the morning, he washes Netilas Yadayim, and he says a bracha. So is that a Jewish act that now he loses a chance of being mocha? Not so clear. The shachas lashon of machad dekatnuso, that's nimshach begaluso, that you start an act of macha when you're a katan, and you continue that into the realm of godless. The flip side of that is. So let's say we're not going to focus on a particular Jewish act. What about an anti-Jewish act? What about averus? So if a ger katan now becomes our mitzvah, and he's doing averus, so is that considered a macha? Maybe you'll ask him, do you want to be Jewish? Yeah, but the Jewishness that he wants to observe isn't a fully halachic Jewishness. He wants to be culturally Jewish, but he wants to be mechal Shabbos. Is that considered to be a macha? Reb Chaim Ozer, Chela Gimel, Simen Kavches, and the Achiezer, Chela Gimel, Simen Kavches, addresses this a little bit. And he doesn't think so. He thinks macha means that you have to actively opt out and say you don't want to be Jewish. But if the person, if you ask him, says he wants to be Jewish, but he's mechal Shabbos, he's doing other averus, so that's Yisrael that's doing averus, just like a regular ger, who's Megayer, probably Mekabel Mitzvos, and a year later lapses and starts being over Vera. So that's called Chazul Surah. He goes back to a previous lifestyle, but since the Geirus was good at the time of the Geirus, he's still Jewish. So Chaim Moser sounds like he thinks, the same is true by Macha V'Katan. If when he becomes a Gadol, he says, I don't want any of this, I'm out, that's a Macha. But if he says, I'm happy being Jewish, just he wants to be a Jewish Mechal Shabbos, then that non-observance does not constitute an implicit macha per se, and he's still considered to be a ger. Not to say You should be Megayer or a Ger Katan. If you know that's what's going to happen, we'll get to that. But if under the circumstances he ends up being Mechal Shabbos, that's not necessarily a Mecha. And others are not so convinced that that's the case. Our Abbezin Zechron Levracha of Gedaliah Dov Schwartz was at least Choshesh for the position that non-observance could constitute de facto Mecha, which means that that if a Ger at the time, Ger Katan at the time becomes Bar Mitzvah, is Mechal Shabbos, that is questionable. Maybe that's considered to be a macha. Ramosha raises the question a couple of tshuvos. What's the obligation to inform a ger katan about his status to give him the option for macha at that point? So until recent years, I would say the majority, at least a significant percentage of ger katan cases that came in front of a bezdin, or Ger Katan cases in the communities, were adopted children, Jewish parents who adopted a non-Jewish child. In recent years, with the advent of different options for treating fertility, with various forms of assisted reproductive technology, so then the more cases of Ger Katan are cases of non-Jewish egg donors or non-Jewish surrogates, or situations like that, as opposed to adoptions, which seem to be significantly down in the from community relative to what they were 20 or even 10 years ago. But in the classic case in Ramosha's time, you're writing about a Ger Katan, you either have a Ger Katan where the mother was not Jewish and converts with the whole family with all the kids, or you have a Ger Katan of an adopted kid. So in the adopted kid scenario, where a generation ago it was a lot more common not to inform a kid that he was adopted, at least initially. So what does that do for Macha? So Moshe writes, first in Chelek Aleph Yerodeya Simen Kuf Samach Aleph, Chelek Aleph Yerodeya Simen Kuf Samach Aleph, that you have to inform a kid before he or she becomes Bar Bas Mitzvah that they were not born Jewish, that they were Ger Katan, and give them the option of being Mocha. Now Moshe, the reason this is so important for Moshe, he writes in the next Siman Kuf Samach Beis, the Ramosha is of the opinion that macha could take place at any point that the child is aware that he has a macha option. So there are two ingredients of that awareness. Number one, you have to be aware that you are a Ger Katan. Number two, you have to be aware that you have the option of macha. So the person was never aware that he was adopted and finds out at age 20 that he's adopted, that he was not born Jewish, and that he has the option of macha, then he could be mocha at that point. And it's potentially more likely that someone at age 20 may want to be mocha than someone at age 13. If you're raised in a frum household, then you're more likely going to do whatever your adoptive parents are doing. So it's unlikely that if you're raised in a frum household at the age of 13, you're going to opt out and go back to the street. But at the age of 20, that's presumably more likely, depending on what's been going on in your adolescent years. So for Moshe, it's especially important that someone should be informed at the time of Bar Bas Mitzvah that that person was a Ger Katan and has the option of Macha, and if circumstances are appropriate, should not opt to be Mocha if they want to and should be staying Jewish. So in our Gera certificates, when we have a Ger Katan, we just cite on the bottom the Din and Shulchan Aruch of Higdili Chal Limcha, such people should be stated for the record that the people should be informed at the time that they're Bar Mitzvah in these situations of the option of Macha. Rav Sturmbach has a tshuva, Tshuvas Van Hagos, Chelek Dalid, Simen Reish Lamed Aleph, Tshuvas Van Hagos, Chelek Dalid, Simen Reish Lamed Aleph. He writes that if you have a Ger Katan that is observing mitzvahs for the time after Bar Mitzvah, so that is indicative of a Kabbalah mitzvah, it's indicative of the fact that he's not interested in being Mocha. And you don't have to worry beyond that point. He thinks that as long as a person is observant, you don't need to inform them of the option of Macha, and that the window for Macha passes immediately after the time of Bar Mitzvah. So as long as a person is living an observant lifestyle at the time of Bar Mitzvah, even if he's not aware that he's a Ger Kazon, even if he's not aware that there's an option of Macha, you don't have to rock the boat, and the Macha window is closed. He writes that he had a Shaila of what he refers to as a Yelet Shovav Umuchutzaf, a wild and chutzpahdik kid who was a Ger Kazon, who found out when he was still a kid, when he was a katan, that he's a ger, and that he could be mocha when he becomes a gadol. So the guy tells his friends before his bar mitzvah that I'm not interested in being Jewish. I don't want to have to do all these mitzvahs. But since I'm still living in my adopted parents' house, I'll humor them, and I'll remain shomer Torah mitzvahs until age 18. So he said this when he was 12 and a half. And lo and behold, he kept mitzvahs till 18. He kept mitzvahs after 18. He's learning in yeshiva. So now he asks the Shaila, he's 20 years old learning in yeshiva. Was there anything to that statement that he made when he became bar mitzvah that he doesn't really want to be Jewish? And when he gets older, he's going to ditch the whole thing. So Sturmbach thinks that you don't really need to put so much stock into that statement that he made at the time of bar mitzvah. He really wanted to be Jewish, and he was just acting up as a kid and making that statement, but it wasn't really reflective of a formal halachic macha. He's not sure. He says that he's not convinced that that's the case, but he raises that as what he thinks is more likely. He says that he still has to investigate the details of the situation a little bit more, to determine whether another gerus might be necessary in case the macha actually was of any significance. Okay. But in practice, we're at least concerned for the position of Ramosha, that macha could take place at any point that a person realizes that he is a ger and subject to the din of macha, that he was a ger katan, and now he has the option of macha. So that's why the prudent thing to do is to inform some of these situations of the possibility of macha at the time of bar mitzvah to avoid any potential bigger problem down the road. Okay, now as we, when we began this year, we noted that according to Rashi, there seems to be a distinction between the necessity for Das Bezdin when a father brings a Ger Katan as opposed to the father doesn't bring him, that where the father brings him, there's no need for Das Bezdin. So for that reason, some Achronim assume, the Chasam Sofer, among others, that the Din HaMacha also only applies by a regular case, by a case of Ger Katan, where it's Lo HaViyaso Aviv, where the father doesn't bring him. That if the father doesn't bring him, that's where you need to invoke Das Bezdin. And if you have a geirus done al das bezdin, so then you could be mocha. But if the father brings him, so then there's no requirement for das bezdin, or there's no din of macha. So under those circumstances, if the father brought him to convert, there would not be a option of macha. There's a comment of the Tosus Rid on the side of the Gemara in Ksubis. The Tosus Rid notes that in Hilchos B'nei Noach, there are different definitions of godless than in Hilchos Yisrael. That when it comes to a Jew, a godless is defined as age 12 for a girl and age 13 for a boy. That's irrespective of the intellectual capacity of the given child, even the Vilna Gaon was only halachic gadol at the age of 13. However, and a gadol deraisa, if there's both shanim and simanim, both the signs of physical maturity and the age. However, there's a principle that when it comes to b'nei Noach, there are no halachas of shiurim, amounts. Shiurim is only relevant for Jews, not for b'nei Noach. So for that reason, if a non-Jew steals, he's liable for the death penalty, even for less than a shavar pruta, even if it's a infinitesimal matter that he's stealing, as opposed to in Hilchos B'nei Yisrael, that you're only chayiv for Hilchos Yisrael, only chayiv for Gzela, for Geneva, if you steal something that's worth the Shavarputa. So what emerges from the comment of the Tosus Rid is that the same is true for godless, that the age of 13, that's relevant in Dinei Yisrael. But in Dinei B'nei Noach, a katan would have the status of a gadol once he reaches a certain stage of intellectual cognitive development, which would be earlier than age 13. So what would emerge from that comment of the Tosfos Rid, which is reflected in a Tshuva L'Chasam Sofer Siman Shin Yud Zayin, is that if you're being Megayer a non-Jewish minor, there may be a certain window where Geirus isn't going to work. Because let's say the non-Jewish minor is sufficiently intellectually, cognitively developed at age 10. So in Hilchos B'nei Noach, he's already a gadol. If he's already a gadol, then the mechanics of Ger Katan may not work. So that actually, I believe, is a position in practice of Renato Greenblatt, also Zeigesund, that he was reluctant to convert any minors within a window of a few years before Bar Mitzvah because of this question as to whether they're halachically minors in Hilchos B'nei Noach. Okay. The biggest question when it comes to Ger Katan is how do we define Zechus? That the leaving aside the question as to whether it's necessary even if the father brings him, but the premise of Ger Katan is Zechus Olav, Zachin Ladin Shalav Afanav, as we saw in the Gemara in Ksubas, that is considered meritorious to be Jewish, and you can perform a meritorious action on someone's behalf without their full participation. So under what circumstances is it considered to be meritorious to be Jewish that would allow you to invoke the mechanics of Zachin for Ger Katan? The Reb Moshe has a off-sided tshuva. Igros Moshe Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Nun Ches, Yerdei Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Nun Ches, in which Reb Moshe discusses conversion performed for a minor where the family may not be so observant. So he writes, and under those circumstances, it's better to be Megayer Megan when he becomes a gadol, because it's not clear. Whether it's considered to be a schus for him as a minor, because Baba Nusena Rabim Karov Shachas V'Shalom Lo Yishmer Shabbos Chadoma Odisur. So in the environment where he's being brought up, it's very likely that he may not end up being from, and that's not considered to be a schus to live as a Jew and not be observant. As we noted previously, the Gemara in Yevamos Membav, Yitala Ger is coming to be Megayer, that when you're not Jewish, if you chayil of no consequence, and chal shabbos no consequence. If you become Jewish, you violate the heirs, there are major consequences. So what kind of chus is that for you to convert someone, and then they're going to incur major violations, major onshim for violating halacha? Then Moshe writes, ach efshar, possible, maybe, shemikol makom uschus, maybe it's considered to be a chus even if he's not going to be observant. Sha'af Risha Yisrael Adife Me'akum. And maybe it's better to be a Jewish Rasha than a non-Jew. V'gam Uzchos Machmas Denichalei B'may David Le'aviv. And if he's converting the parents, then maybe that's an additional schos that he wants to do what his parents are doing, even if he's in an environment that's not going to be conducive to living an observant lifestyle. So this is what's often quoted as Reb Moshe's standard for Geirus Katan, which had been the practice of certain Talmidim of Reb Moshe, perhaps in certain Batei Din in North America, for some time, although as we'll see, not the consensus position, that there are grounds to be Megayer a Katan, even if you don't have the ingredients in place to ensure a certain likelihood of growing up to leave an observant lifestyle. So this Efshar that Reb Moshe has in this tshuva is, he only writes it as an Efshar, as a possibility, so that in common parlance is referred to as Reb Moshe's standard for Ger Katan. Then Reb Moshe in a much later tshuva, Chelek Dalet Simen Kavav, Os Gimel, Chelek Dalet Simen Kavav, Os Gimel, also raises this as a possibility that maybe you could be Megayer Ketanim, Aldas Bezdin, where they're going to be living, learning, studying in an Orthodox day school with teachers that are Yirei Shemayim, even if they're not living in observant homes, because you're going to give them something in the education. And even if they don't end up being Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, maybe it's still a relative close to be Jewish under the circumstances than to be a non-Jew. But most poskim took a different position. And that's what the Rav Schefter quotes from Rav Soloveitchik. And there's a tshuva of Yitzchak Panovitcher, the Zecher Yitzchak Simon Beis, the tshuva of Rav Kook, Das Cohen, Simon Kuf Nem Zion, all of whom are of the position that in order to establish a zchus for a katan in the context of geiris, there has to be a likelihood or a better than even chance that the ingredients are in place in order that this person will be raised to be an observant Jew. And that's the position of Sri Deish as well. Chelik Bey Simon Sadigov in the old edition of the Sri Deish, and Dayan Weiss and Minchas Yitzchak Chelik Gimel Simon Sadites. And that's generally the practice of most contemporary Batei Din, that in order to be comfortable converting a minor, there has to be enough in place that there's a reasonable confidence, or better than even chance, that this person is going to grow up to lead an observant lifestyle. So, for example, the general expectation is that the parents are going to be Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, to commit to send the child to an Orthodox day school, to be members of an Orthodox shul. And minimally, even if there isn't 100% observance in the home, but at least there's significant Shabbos observance, there's a commitment to kashrus, and commitment to sending the school to the kid to an Orthodox day school, and to be members of an Orthodox congregation. So that's the standard that we operate with as far as what is necessary in order to be comfortable being Megayer HaKatan al Das Bezdin. I think I had mentioned in one of our previous shirim, case that came up a few times in different related contexts, where there is a mother, normally speaking, we would never convert a child without converting the mother together with the child, or the parents together with the child if they're not both Jewish. The rare exception to that rule is the following case, where there are parents who are living a fully observant lifestyle, but the mother is not halachically Jewish and unable to halachically convert. So the case that we spoke about in the past was where the father is a Kohen and the mother is not halachically Jewish and realizes that there's a question about her Jewish status, or knew that there's a question about her Jewish status, and if she were to undergo a proper halachic conversion, she would be a Sula Kohen. She couldn't marry the father. So as far as Klapish Maya, the right thing to do would be for them to separate. But if they're not going to do that, and they already have kids, and in practice are living an observant lifestyle, chutzman, the fact that the relationship is not a relationship that should be condoned. So there have been cases where we're comfortable being the guy or the kid under the circumstances, where the worst problem in the home will be bishul akum if the mother's not halachically Jewish, and there are ways to get around the bishul akum problem. But short of that, we would almost never convert a child without converting the parents as well. That's not considered to be a zechus. Chaim Moser has a line, Achiezer Chela Gimel Simon Kavches, that Bezdin shouldn't get itself into doing geiris under these questionable circumstances of ger katan. But if there are rabbis that do it, he says you don't have to turn the world upside down to protest. He says Hatzedek, she'ein lebezdin kasher lizdakei binyan geiris kelu, that the right thing to do is not to be megayer your kids under these circumstances where the parents are not observant, and the likelihood is that the kid's not going to end up being observant either. I don't think that the Rabbanim need to make a tumult. You have to pick your battle, so that's not necessarily the first battle to pick. So he says, in the masses see that as a chel Hashem, that kids want to convert, and we're not converting them. Where he says one could make a plausible argument to validate the conversion under the circumstances, even though he's not so excited about making that argument. So again, in previous generation, it was a little bit more common in the American scene to perform ger katan under what we would consider to be the Ramosha standard of ger katan. And the consensus seems to be that we're megayer children only if there's a reasonable assumption, a reasonable expectation that they're going to be raised in an environment conducive to shmiras Torah mitzvahs. Question that some are raising now is there a little bit of wiggle room under certain circumstances? Let's say you have someone who's Suffolk Jewish. Let's say you had a child born from a non-Jewish egg donor and a Jewish surrogate. Whereas we discussed previously, Machlokas Aposkim is the child halachically Jewish anyways. They have to do a geirus to satisfy all opinions. So is there any wiggle room over there to lower the expectations of what's required of the family, where you have a suffix that the kid may be Jewish anyway? So we haven't been so inclined to change the standards under those circumstances. Others are a little bit more inclined. That's perhaps an open question how Batei Din will or should address those kinds of situations. Okay, looks like our time is up for today. Mirtz Hashem next week, which should be the last shiur of the series, so leading up to Shavuos, I'll talk about some, hope to talk about some yuchsin issues related to the story of Megillas Rus.
Thank you so much.
Yashikar, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Always fascinating.